Applause from Scott and Larry. Bart. Barton George is the Director of Developer Programs in Dell Services and founder leader of Project Sputnik, a client-to-cloud platform for developers. Barton has been at Dell for 5 years, and previous to his current role, he served as Dell's cloud evangelist. Before Dell, Barton spent 13 years at Sun Microsystems in a variety of roles, last of which was as open source evangelist and driver of Sun's Linux strategy. Barton began his professional career in Tokyo, where he worked for Sony, working with ISVs for their Unix-based workstation. Please welcome Barton George to the Cloud Developer Summit and Expo.
Thanks, Marty, appreciate it. So as I say, my name's Barton George. I'm here to talk to you today about digital transformation. What I'd like to do is I'd like to keep this interactive amongst the different the participants here. So if there's anything that you'd like to know more about or comment, there may be quizzes along the way, so you have to stay awake. And there'll be prizes for all the correct answers that you get. But what I'm here to talk about today is digital transformation and what that means. So the idea is that to take a high-level view of this and look at how it is affecting everything that we're doing today in the world of technology. So to start all off, what has been the driving forces that have led to this? Well, these guys here kind of screwed up everything. So you've got people like Google, Netflix, Facebook, et cetera, and what they've really done is they've taken the bar and they really raise customer expectations. All of us have probably used at least one of those, if not used them on a daily basis. And what they have done is they've taken the expectation of what we should look for in computing and raised it. We expect things to be available anytime, anywhere, on any platform. We expect it to be at little or no cost, and we expect them to be very simple and very intuitive. As a result, you can't keep this type of experience cordoned off just to the consumer sector and say, hey, that's okay in the consumer section, but in enterprise, we can be clunky. What it's done is it's raised the expectation all around. So what that means is if you're not born a digital company, as each of those examples were from the very get-go, you need to transform. And then before going further, let me just define my terms here so we understand what we're talking about. Because if you ask five people what digital transformation means, you'd probably get six different answers. So the definition that I'm using here is redesigning business models and processes while leveraging new technologies to improve engagement with your employees, partners, and ultimately your customers. And that's really the key point here. It's all about customer-centric approach to everything you do. Everything that you do, wherever you are in your corporation or your organization, ultimately should be to benefit your customer. So if you're in doubt about what you should be doing, how you should be leveraging various digital technologies going forward, always think of your customer, and they will be the ones that will guide you to what you should be doing. The other thing is, there's sort of this mass epiphany that's going on right now in the industry. It's been about 5 years since the financial crisis, and everybody seems to be waking up at about the same time, where all of a sudden, the ideas of let's just try and knock all the costs out of what we've been doing has sort of has played through, and now the economy is starting to swing up. And people are starting to say, oh my gosh, we're stuck with a portfolio of products that are, well, they're affordable and they're financially advantageous to produce, but they're not as exciting as they could be because we've sort of taken our eye off innovation. Job number one has been all about cutting costs, and so now we need to start re-looking at this. And as I said, in major corporate America and outside in the world, this has been something that people are starting to realize. As I say, the collective realization that people are behind the digital curve. And this stat up here from Forrester Research shows exactly in a study that they did recently where they think people's heads are at. And they believe that over 90% of executives believe that their businesses will be disrupted in the next 12 months. And there's plenty of examples of of companies that we can talk to that have been disrupted, not only disrupted, but put out of business. And I have a few examples of those, and I'm sure everyone can think of a few on their own. So the other thing I would say about this is, while this is true for companies that are not digitally native companies also need to be continually transforming. So digital transformation is not an endpoint, but it's a journey. It's something that someone like a Google can't say, hey, we're on top of things. And in fact, there was a point, it seems not so long ago, when the luster had come off Google. And I remember thinking, well, that it company has kind of gone by the wayside. And they've gotten back on their game, and they have become just as powerful as they were before. So if we take a look at some of these disruptors, people that you need to be wary of, I just have a couple of examples here, but there are many of them in the industry. The two that I pulled up here are Uber and Airbnb. Just by a show of hands in the audience, has anyone in the audience here used either of these? Okay, so we've got about 50% of the people have used these. And they're quite widespread. And this is a really fascinating example for me of how web, I don't want to say 2.0 because that means something else, but how this new version of digital commerce is going forward. So unlike the days before when you had companies like Webvan who went and invested in huge amounts of infrastructure and product to deliver groceries, there's a lot of these people like Uber, like Airbnb, that really what they do is they take existing assets and infrastructure and they knit them together. It's about the connections that they provide. So Airbnb, basically they're taking people, if you're not familiar with it, taking people who have homes or houses or rooms to rent and matching them up through a mobile device or on your computer and putting people in touch so you can then all of a sudden, you can, rather than having to go to a hotel or a hospital, a smaller place, you can go to Airbnb and go through there. Same thing with Uber. This idea of the extended product. Thank you, sir. Where you've got existing assets in the form of personal cars that you can then turn into a utility that can be used by others. This idea of almost the same way that Amazon took their spare cycle time, people are taking the extra time that they may have with their car and are now making it available for people to use. So this idea of technology really connecting, creating new opportunities where there weren't previously and disrupting industries on a large scale. And as I said, this is the flip side. Three big companies that were very big deals: Kodak, Borders, Blockbuster, and I'm sure we could name a whole bunch of others who didn't see the digital wave coming and didn't adapt. And as a result, were put out of business. And there's whole industries like this. Obviously, print media is very much under attack, and we've kind of flushed through most of the properties, but there was a while back where we kept hearing about another newspaper, large predominant newspaper that was going under. And so these are good examples of companies that been disrupted. I think another interesting thing is along this idea of needing to continually improve, an example that people use is the music business. So you go from phonograph records to cassettes or 8-tracks, and then you go to CDs, and those became MP3, so that's when it becomes digital. But even then, that's not enough, because those have been supplanted by people who are listening to streaming services like Pandora, and the company out of Sweden, which I'm spacing on their name. Spotify, I don't know why I had a mental block on that. Spotify, where to be digital is not enough. You need to continuously improve and continuously transform. So here's an example of new revenue streams. So I think one of the more powerful things that happens is the idea of taking traditional businesses and going into the digital space. So I'll start with the one on the right. I really like this. This is called Drive Now by BMW. And what they've done is, particularly in places like here in Austin and metropolitan areas, you have zip cars now that have made it so that a lot of people think, why would I want to own a car? I'll just rent a car when I need it. So BMW took a look at that and said, you know what? We want, if people are going to rent a car, why don't we have them rent a BMW? So they've got 20,000 people hooked up to this in Germany in a few cities. And basically, through a mobile app, you can find where there is a BMW that you can just rent for the time. So you don't have to just be in a cute little zip car. You can actually be in a really cool, fast-going BMW. So an interesting way that they took this and extended it to meet the challenge head-on. The one on the left, Metromile, is insurance here in the United States. And this is an example for those people who really don't drive a lot. Why should they pay the same amount of somebody who's commuting far distances every day? So what you do is you put this counter in your car, and it counts the mileage. And then also they're collecting all sorts of data. And so you're only paying for the insurance for the mileage that you drive. And then you're getting, and you can track it all with a mobile app as well. And then the one in the middle I thought was so cool. It's a big chain in the UK called Argos, which is a big multi-product company. And what they did is they partnered with this company called Shuttle, which is a delivery service. And so what you do is you can go online, you order your products, say that you want it sent to you by this shuttle, and it will be sent to you. It'll be delivered to your home. Well, in the meantime, since that, I learned about a service here in Austin, kind of just like this, called Instacart. And basically what it does is I go on, and this is the lightweight version of the web van model. As I said, the web van model for groceries was all about, let's build a place, just like Amazon did for books, let's build a place with all these different books and warehouses. And Webvan built all these places. What this is doing is saying, let's use existing properties that list existing chains. So there's three, I can't remember the third, but there's Whole Foods and there's HEB. So what I can do is I can go online, I pick out what I want, I search the food, select it, and then say that I want it delivered, and within 2 hours it's delivered to my home. So very interesting model. Once again, this idea of connecting existing pieces with additional services and creating real value. And then what's great about this too is next time I come in, I can look and see what did I order last time. I don't know about you, but when I go to the store, I always forget, what do I need? What's my checklist? And now it's all here for me. And then of course they can start doing things like promotions. We noticed you bought baked beans last time. Do you know they're on sale now? Or if you like baked beans, you probably want hot dogs with them too. I'm a real gourmet, you can tell. And then just on the back end, what technologies will you draw on? So one thing in explaining digital transformation, the idea of evolving to become a digital business, an easy way to do it is to talk about the technologies involved. But I wanted to keep this towards the end of the presentation so that it's more about the focus on what you're trying to do and how you're trying to improve customer behavior. That being said, these are just a few of the technologies that you can draw on and use. So, for example, you've got the usual suspect, the smack attack, as I like to call it, cloud, mobile, social, big data. And you see that in all of and many of the examples that I've talked about. So with Instacart, I can do it on my phone. I can do it at from my desktop. It's back on the cloud. There's a lot of these have social components to them as well, where you can rate things, and then of course the data analysis part of it. But then it's always the list of new technologies is always growing. So I just put up three here to as illustrations. One being the Internet of Things, which is very much coming into play. Alternative currencies, and I just used Bitcoin here as an example of one of those. And the box on the bottom is 3D printing. It's another technology. So this is, and I have it et cetera there, because basically that's what it's going to be going forward. It's going to be all sorts of different technologies that will be coming along. So just here, this is my last slide, and I just wanted to talk about, given all this, what does this mean for mainstream organizations, enterprises and organizations? Well, definitely you want to start to integrate digital touch points if you're not already. 51% of all commerce now is happening on these things, mobile devices, whether they're tablets or they're on your phone. And if you don't have a presence there, you're going to be in quite a bit of trouble. Also in the B2B space, I don't know the exact stat, but it's something to the, I think it's actually, now that I think about it, 57% of all learning about a product takes place before ever talking to a salesperson. So people are out there looking and doing it, looking at reviews, reading about your product. Google calls that the zero moment of truth. Right, you have the first moment of truth when someone buys your product, the second moment of truth when someone experiences your product. Those are the traditional moments of truth they talk about. Well, the one that comes before all that is the zero moment of truth. This idea of this is when you start reviewing. And this is a lot that is out there. And I think one of the things to remember that this brings up is the fact that unlike IT in the past, a lot of this is outside your purview. So you don't own or control the mobile devices that people are going to be reading about your products and services on. You don't own the various social platforms that they're talking about you on. This gets into the whole idea of social media. And you don't necessarily own that conversation anymore. You can influence it, you can help monitor, you can help shape it, but it's out of your hands now. And then as we talked about before, this really is an opportunity. You don't need to say something like hey, we're a traditional company. How are we ever going to compete with these people? Well, you can start shifting your mix as BMW did. People are renting cars. Well, maybe we can start renting cars and we can provide and it's not just the idea of renting the cars. It's the idea of making things easy and frictionless. And I think that's one of the key points of digital transformation, of the digital era, is making things easy. Because if things aren't easy, unless it's extremely valuable, people won't use it. But if you lower those barriers and make it simple to use, you'll get a much higher rate of adoption. The other thing would be you start shifting your mix. So Home Depot is putting more money now into warehouses as opposed to stores, because people can order online, and that more people are doing it online and then getting it shipped from the warehouse rather than actually going to the store. So a shifting of your business to cater to digitally enabled transactions. An interesting thing here too is this whole idea of an ecosystem of partners, which is in this new space, you have a whole bunch of new partners in here, and you connect and you use them for projects, and you may disassociate after that. It's this whole idea of agile, of being agile and being responsive and working with people when you need it. You don't have to put together the entire solution by yourself. And in fact, so just for example, that Argos, they partnered with the shuttle service. Same thing with HEB and Whole Foods. They're partnering with Instacart. So they didn't say, well, why don't we invest in a fleet of trucks to go out and start delivering? They said, no, let's use somebody who already exists and use those types of those resources. Same thing with Uber. They didn't say, well, let's buy a digitally enabled taxi fleet. So we'll buy our own taxis, but we'll just make it super easy via the web. So it's this idea of being agile and stitching people together. And then on the corporate and the enterprise side, you're going to start seeing different players. So you've got the CEO is really going to be taking quite a bit of notice of digital transformation, and oftentimes will be leading this. And underneath that, you'll have the CMO, the CIO, but you're also going to have people that you're seeing more and more of now, which is chief digital officers, chief privacy officers, which comes up as a big concern when you start to do this, chief experience officers, and these are people that start looking at all different ways that digital can help go forward. I mean, there's that famous stat from Gartner about how the marketing department is going to have a larger budget than the IT department in the not so distant future. And I think that's because a lot of times with this growing digital movement, a lot of the things that were in IT are going to become part of the marketing. It doesn't mean that there's just going to be more budget to put ads in the Wall Street Journal and 30-second spots in the Super Bowl. It's all about how does marketing itself become more digital. And then you've got this idea of more data and more insights with all of this. As you, particularly when we start getting into the whole world of Internet of Things, where in the future everything will have its own IP address, where you can be collecting sensor data. So your shoes know when they've been worn down. You get a message that says, if they're worn down, that the people who sold them to you sends you a message saying, hey, those shoes are now on sale, or we notice you've been doing this. Would you like to buy something like this? We notice that you check into this hotel a lot, but you don't ask for a window view, so we are now going to be giving you a mountain view, something like that. These types of things going forward. And you can actually put together, and we've done this at Dell, is you put together these customer journey maps, and you show all the ways that, say, someone working, checking into a hotel, how all the different ways that the digital experience can work and a way to map it out for customers so they can see and understand it. And all of this leads to greater agility, innovation, and growth, which is really what it's all about. As I said, the pendulum has swung. Everyone is collectively waking up and having this sort of whoa moment where I got this portfolio of unexciting of offerings and I really need to get going. And I see that a lot of these other people have started innovating, and we need to get going as well. So there's a big opportunity now for people to start doing it. And if you don't, as I said with my first slide there, the end is near with a little dinosaur in the silt there, you will not survive. You will become a Kodak, you'll become a Borders, you'll become a Blockbuster. So with that, I'd like to open it up to the crowd to see if anybody has any questions. Excuse me, sir. It is, and I should, I'll do a step back and say why I'm here to begin with to talk about this. And so I am in Dell Services, and now one of the big offerings we have is digital transformation consulting, because as you can imagine, you look at all this stuff and you think, where do I begin? Where do I start? And I think it's pretty, I think these are pretty compelling examples here, and I would be very surprised at people who push back on this, just because all of us have, while we have our work life, we also have our home life. And like I said with the first slide, people like those Googles, the Amazons, the Facebooks, they've really shown us how easy, intuitive that these things can be. Exactly. So you go and you do an as is. Okay, let's take a look at where you're at, and then here's sort of the low hanging fruits. Yes. Yes. Right. So Within Dell Services, the areas we've been strongest with is banking and financial services, healthcare and life sciences, but we also have practices in other areas as well. And I think one of the things you find, it's a lot like consultants in general, where you can go into different industries, and it's basically looking at it and trying to figure out the approach. And a lot of these practices are translatable between various sectors. And so I think it's sort of a what's more important in your specific area, given your customer set. Right, and I think that's one of the things with analytics is the great thing about it is you can see the value of it or you can track it. And that being said, there are for people who may be a little leery of this, what you do is in the true aspect of modern technology is you do it with an agile approach. So you don't come in there and say, okay, we're gonna take this whole company, we're gonna change everything. You say, let me show you a pilot. Here's the low-hanging fruit. Your sales team in Chattanooga is having problems communicating. We have a mobile app that's going to deliver them their customer data information so that when they call on the customer, they're going to know exactly what this customer bought in the last 12 months, what's up for renewal, and then they can also generate, and I'm making this up, but they can generate reports directly from this from their phone, et cetera, and we're going to pilot in Chattanooga, and we noticed that after a two-month pilot that their sales have tripled or doubled or whatever it is, and then you take that and you expand on it. But the idea with a lot of this stuff is you don't want to wait till it's perfect. You want to get in and you want to iterate, and that's what it's all about. Is it's not about this old-style waterfall where you have a long plan that you just march to. It's let's get quick wins and let's tweak it as we go along. That's a good question, because I think they're all, I just think at this point everyone is on notice. And I think that people have seen what it has done to others. So it's harder to be like the record company was or like print media was, because now everybody has seen what's happened to them. Their heads are on the post, and so everyone else is a little bit leery. But that being said, I think what's just so fascinating about this is just these ideas of the almost crowdsourcing and turning existing assets and people into a workforce. So the woman who delivered my Instacart purchase, she says, oh, my husband and I, we both work at HEB and we're just doing this on our own. So basically they didn't go out, I don't think they went out and said, let's create a whole sales team, but they found people who would do this. Same thing with Uber. I have friends who are doing Uber, and that's just something that they do because they have the time, they can make the money, and it's not a trained force of taxi drivers or trained force of shuttle people. It's not like FedEx or something where you have people who deliver them like that and say in the Instacart case. So I think that's what's really neat is just taking things that are out there. Once again, Airbnb. People have places. People like to stay at people's places. Why don't you get some money for that, et cetera. So. I think one of the things, the biggest thing with all this is convenience and the feeling of a fit towards you, a feeling of personalization. So if I feel it's very easy for me to go book into a Starwood and when I get there they know my choices and things, I'm going to keep doing that. So because I don't think it's necessarily, for example, Uber is not cheaper than a cab. In fact, people say it's more expensive. But you're willing to pay a little bit more because it's so darn easy and convenient. So I think that's the big part of this, is the more personalization you can get, the greater you can do it. And I think one of the ways that companies need to start looking at customers is they're not people to target or to convert, or, you know, it's a mindset where you're thinking that it's not that you all of a sudden have become a not-for-profit. It is about making money. That's the deal. But you are going to make more money by treating people as individuals through empathy, marketing through empathy, as opposed to how can I sort of convert and transact this thing. It's going from transactional to relationship. We're working on that right now. We have the, as I said, what we call those journey maps. We have those for about 8 different industries. And I should have put one of them in here. I was going to, but I forgot. Just to give an example of what it would look like. But we have it for retail and hospitals and banking and leisure. And yeah, so we have about 8 of those. Oh, yeah, definitely. And, it's kind of like the hair club for men. I'm not just the president, I'm a member. Same thing with Dell, is we're having to go through all this ourselves. It's not as if we are immune to this. And digital's a journey. So Dell was, I forget the statistics, but back in the day, we were one of the original digital companies and had the most visited website or the greatest transactions committed. But we need to continuously do that, particularly as you go from being a small, nimble company to where now we're over 100,000 people and over $60 billion a year. How do you stay nimble? How do you keep transforming? And so one of the things that we just finished, just spent the last couple of days doing a series of meetings with people within our company, talking to them about what they're doing to transform. An interesting example just this morning was talking to somebody about is, there was a guy in the marketing department that has this, we have this great analytics engine to figure out what customers are interested in buying and what they might be interested in, a propensity to buy program, but it just took forever. It took like 6 months to run. And when they went to IT to say, how can you help us speed this up? IT said, you know what, that's, compared to all the other big things on our roadmap, we don't have time to deal with it. That falls below the line. So what this director did is he went to our CMO, went to our CIO and said, look, I need help with this. We can't just only do the big ticket items. How are we going to be faster? How are we going to be more nimble? And what they did is they put together this tiger team focused on analytics, and their job is basically to go around and look for opportunities just like this. Things that are not, they're not a lot of money. And the marketing group will toss in the money, but it just takes somebody to work with them and to really hit it and hit it quickly, and you start getting these quicker wins. And so now this tiger team, they created this. It's called the Marketing Analytics Workbench is the project. But now they go around and they evangelize and say, hey, there's got to be other people within the company who are sitting there frustrated saying, oh my gosh, I've got this great idea, but I just can't get IT to listen to me. And so new ways to get to become more agile. Yeah, there were several reports that I've read that when I put this together I used. In fact, there's an article that I just got, a newsletter from them that I just got today about how, because I'm talking about digital transformation in general, I'm also working on an internal project within our own marketing group, how do we digitally transform our marketing, which is a big part of it, but it's not the whole thing. And there was an interesting article in the McKinsey thing, I guess it's from 1966, talking about, they brought it back about how those things that seem to be so depression at the time are so far-reaching in their are holding the same today. And so it's, and I want to read that. I haven't read it. I just looked at it when I was actually out in the hall, and it looks pretty interesting. But yeah, they are doing quite a bit of things with that. But it's an exciting space, and I myself, like I said, with this Instacart this weekend, I just saw, oh my gosh, I hate going to the grocery store. I can never find anything. I get a list given to me, go buy this, go buy that, and I never know where it is. So much easier. And then, as I said, I have that list in there for next time, and I can go and say, I want this, I want that. So, and there's many, obviously, examples of that as well. And, you know, the whole idea with, as marketing goes forward, as it becomes more personalized, then it's not spam. It's, if it's something you're interested in, I mean, I can just think of a couple times on Facebook where they've said, if you like this music group, you might like this music group. And I think, wow, that's an example of something that really worked. I do now really like this new group because of what they've said. So I think it's a pretty interesting space. Anybody else?
Thank you very much.
All right, well, thank you very much.